All right, so we'll say good evening. Good evening. Let us begin. Very exciting tonight. Emirat Hashem, begin Hilchos Bishul. So Emirat Hashem, my hope is to be able to spend a good number of shiurim on Hilchos Bishul. As we're going to see, there's a lot of different pieces to this area of halacha. Whereas normally when we come to Hilchos Bishul, often the focus is on the halachos of shihiyah and chazora. The halachos concerning, again, maintaining food on a fire, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, or returning food to a fire on Shabbos itself. But for tonight, and we definitely, of course, will delve into that. But tonight, what I'd like to really try to do is give a little bit of the conceptual underpinnings of this particular halacha. So let's begin with number one. As always, we begin with the same Mishnah, Maseches Shabbos, on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah says, Avos Melachos Arban Chaser Achas. Remember, again, there are 39 Melachos. And again, skipping on, although I just want to point it out, when we started this series, we are very medactic on going on the order of the Lamites Melachos. I just want to, for the sake of intellectual honesty, we skipped a couple in order to get to Bishul, but in Meretz Hashem, we're going to come back. We skipped actually a couple of good ones, like Lush, Kneading, where there's a lot of interesting halachas, but I wanted to sink our teeth into Bishul. So we come now to one of the melachos called Ofe, baking. Now Rashi points out something very interesting in number two. He says, Ofe, lo hava b'mishkan. So remember again, Rashi in this Mishnah, every single time he quotes one of the melachos, what Rashi does is he tells us where this melacha occurred in the Mishkan. Rashi points out that Ofe baking did not occur in the Mishkan. What does that mean? He says, Daloshayach ala bepas. Now, when Rashi says that Ofe, that baking, didn't take place in the Mishkan, remember again, the 39 malachos are the malachos necessary for the creation and fabrication of the Mishkan, not malachos necessary for the running of the Mishkan. So as such, there was no malach of baking that was done in the construction or the creation of the Mishkan. There was no such thing like that. So where did Ofe come up? He says, Ofe came up by pas, by lechem upon him. Lechem upon him, upas lo sheicha b'malachas ha-mishkan. So interestingly enough, there wasn't Ofe in the Mishkan, but what was there in the Mishkan? Bishul. Now the Gemara happens to discuss, remember again, where was Bishul done in the creation of the Mishkan? Bishul was done in the cooking of different herbs and different plants in order to create the dyes that were necessary to color the various curtains and fabrics of the Mishkan. So the Gemara itself asked the Kasha as to why doesn't the Mishnah say Bishul? Right? Why does the Mishnah go ahead and switch from Bishul to Ofe? But again, not really our topic. I just want to point out, it's interesting to note that although the Mishnah quotes this, right there, so in the Mishnah, the Lamites Melachos of the Mishnah, there is no Melacha called Bishul. It's no malacha called Bishul. The way the Mishnah terms it is Ofe, is baking. Now this is actually going to become very interesting because one of the topics that we are going to discuss, not this week, but in coming weeks, is what are the ramifications ultimately, again, of subjecting an item to multiple forms of cooking? Let's say, can you bake an item that has been cooked, or can you cook an item that has been baked? So this notion that Afia and Bishul are two separate things, again, we'll come to. But in any event, that's how the Mishnah terms it, Ofe. What's our definition? What is the definition of Bishul? So the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, source number 3, writes as follows. Klalo shel davar. The Rambam writes, so here is the klal of Bishul. Bein sheripa guf kasha be'esh, o shehiksha guf rach, harei zechai mishum evashal. So the Rambam defines the malach of Bishul as follows. He says, whether you go ahead and you take something that is hard and you soften it, or you take something hard, soft, and you harden it, that is Bishul. Meaning, according to the Rambam, the definition of Bishul is a process by which you change the item that you are cooking. So if you were to subject an item to a cooking process, and there were to be no change to occur within the item itself, according to the Rambam, one would not have committed an act of Bishul. Now, I mention this because it's actually very interesting. Remember again, we had this machlokes, remember again, by Zoraya, right? By Zoraya, we had the machlokes. And by the way, a tremendous shkach to Rabbi Ari Lichterman for putting together the entire Chazara packet for all of the. It was great for me. I got the Chazar over, which was fantastic. So remember, again, one of the interesting machloksim we had by Zoraya was if you go ahead and you just drop seeds into the ground, right, and then quickly take them out, has one committed the malacha of Zoraya or not? So that's a machlokes. What's interesting to note is by Bishul, let's say you were to go ahead and you were to take a loaf of bread, dough, and you were to put it in the oven, and a minute later you took it out. So what's the halacha? So bePashtos, again, that according to the Rambam, you have not done anything wrong, right? Why? Because let's assume for a moment that in a minute in the oven, nothing is happening to the loaf of bread. So according to Rambam, the malacha of bishul is only violated when one affects some level of change within the item itself. And this is going to become very, again, I will say, remember, tonight we're just kind of creating the intellectual framework or the conceptual framework. We'll see how to plug this in. So you could subject an item to a cooking process, but if no change occurs to the item, the malacha of bishul has not been transgressed. Now, it may still be an isra d'rabbanon, but it's not going to be an isra d'oraisa. Okay. So as I say now, when is the malacha complete? In other words, so according to the Rambam, you only go ahead and violate the malacha of bishul is if you affect some type of change. Make something soft hard, make something hard soft. So how do I quantify that within food items themselves? So here we come to a very important distinction between what we call a davar yavesh and a davar lach. Davar yavesh is a solid food item. Davar lach is a liquid. Now, how we define those things, we'll get to in just a moment. But take a look at number four. So this is a great gemara. The gemara says, "Amar Belazar, Amar Rav, kidei shiatzulimi ba'odyom kemaychol ben drusai." So I must say, see, here we go. For a davar yavesh, for a dry item or a solid item, one does not transgress bishul until one cooks the food to what we call Michael ben Drusai. Now, who is ben Drusai? So keep your finger on number four and just go to number five for just a moment. Ben Drusai, listis haya. He was a robber. So I guess being a robber has many perks. One of the things that you have to accept as part of the profession is eating on the run. So ben Drusai never really got. By the way, here's another mafur sharaya. That regular people do not eat their meat anything less than well done. I just want to point out. I know that might be offensive to some, but I'm saying, like, clearly at least Bizmana Gimara, the only people who ate undercooked meat were Liston. We're robbers. Okay, whatever. In any event, so interestingly enough, so here going back to number four, so the Gimara says as follows. So Rolozer says, what is the definition of bishul for a solid cooked food? So he says it's enough ultimately that it reaches level of ben drusai. It's marnami am rav asi am rav yochanan kol kishu michael ben drusai ein bo mishum bishuli nachrim. So I will say, so by the way, it's one of the next things I'd love to do in our halacha series about the halachos concerning pasakum and bishul akum. So again, it happens to be over here that he brings out michael ben drusai by bishul akum as well, which we're not going to touch right now. But the point over here from the Gemara is that when you go in and you cook an item to the level of Michael ben Drusai, right, ben Drusai worthy, then one has transgressed bishul. What is the threshold of Michael ben Drusai? So go back to Rashi number five for just a moment. Rashi says, "Bahamavashal bishulo shlish." Rashi says one third cooked. One third cooked is the definition of Michael ben Drusai. So we'll say this is incredibly important. So therefore, what the Gemara is telling me is like this. If you were to take a food item and you were to cook it, but you were to cook it less than one, so let's work backwards. If you were to cook it one third or more, right, then halacha lemaisa, one has transgressed bishul. Less than a third, one has not transgressed bishul. Again, it may still be an isur d'rabbanon, but it's not going to be the isur d'oraisa. Now, the Rambam in number six disagrees with Rashi. This is a so distinct machlokis Rambam and Rashi, and the Rambam writes in number six, "Avam nispashal kulo chatzi bishulo chatzi bishul chayiv." The Rambam holds Michael ben Drusai is not a third, but rather Michael ben Drusai is a half. Now, I will say, now here's what's interesting: is what does it mean a third or a half? What does this mean? So remember, so we come over here to an interesting machlokes as to whether or not this is a din actually like in the product or in the amount of time in which the product is cooked. So the Chazon Ish is of the opinion that Michael ben Drusai is a din in cooking time. So for example, just to keep it easy, if it takes 3 hours to cook a piece of meat, so Michael ben Drusai means it's been cooking for an hour. Well, according to Rashi, an hour and a half, according to the Rambam. So this is incredibly important. This threshold of Michael ben Drusai is going to be important to us for a number of different reasons, which, again, we'll get to in the coming weeks. But for our purposes today, we're trying to establish, again, how does one transgress the malach of bishul? So here's what I know. Number one, you have to affect some level of change in the item. The Rambam terms this as making something hard soft, making something soft hard. What does that mean practically? So now we have an answer. For salads, it means cooking it to the level of ben drusai. K'maychol ben drusai. How much is maychol ben drusai? Rashi, 1/3 cooking time. Rambam, 1/2 cooking time. Okay, so that's by salads. What about by a liquid? So take a look at number 7. So the Gemara here says as follows. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, echad shemen ve'echad mayim, yad sola despo. So we'll say liquids are going to have a totally different threshold. By liquids, one transgresses the malach of Bishol when one heats up liquid to the level of yad soled esbo. Now, what is yad soled esbo? So Rashi says in number 8 over here something very interesting. Rashi says, soledes nimsheches la'achoreha midaygo shelotichve. A person would withdraw their hand out of concern that they may get burned. Now, it's very interesting. I'm sorry? It sounds like it's objective, but like everything in halacha, you have to create an objective. You have to create an objective metric. So like, you know, same thing again. Michael ben Drusai is also subjective, right? Rashi's saying it's a third, and the Rambam saying it's a half. So correct, but we're going to objectify all of these things. So I just want to point out something very interesting over here. Rashi's definition doesn't mean that the item has to be boiling. If you notice, his lashon is very interesting. Rashi says it's the temperature at which a person would withdraw their hand because they're afraid, right? Midaygo shel tichla, because they're afraid it might be too hot. So it's at a level where a person would be concerned ultimately, again, because of the temperature of the item. So before we get to what that is, so just understand this fundamental difference between solids and liquids, right? A liquid, and again, this is all going in the Rambam's definition, that one violates the malach of Bishul when one affects a change in the state of the item. In a solid, change is defined by subjecting the solid item to a sustained amount of cooking. How long? Michael ben Drusai. How long is Michael ben Drusai? Rashi, 1/3 cooking time. Rambam, 1/2 cooking time. By liquids, at what point in time has a change in the liquid been affected? So again, Rashi will say, the Gemara will say, at the point where it's so hot that your hand would recoil, out of fear that the liquid may be too hot to touch. Okay, what is the share of Yassol that this? Yes.
So you said at the beginning that this is like if someone puts a seed into the ground, that if it's not cooking, that up until the time that it cooks a third, there is no iser.
Correct.
So if someone puts it in with less than an hour left to Shabbos.
So hold on to that. So we're getting a little bit ahead, but yes, but we'll talk about this. In other words, let me just illustrate it in a simple way. Well, actually, finish your example. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Saying, so if you're saying that it takes, let's say it's an hour to start, you know, until it's 1/3 cooked. So if you did that and Shabbos ends in less than an hour, then you are not going to be chayav for bishul because you're not going to hit that.
Correct.
Even though the meat has changed.
Correct.
The meat has changed form and it's not as raw as it was when you put it in.
Correct. Correct. It's no different, by the way, than every other. In halacha, halacha is all based on shiurim. It's the same way. If you eat less than a kezayis of chazer, right? Assuming we don't hold chatzis shears asur midaraisa, right? If you eat less than a kezayis of chazer, you have not violated the isur midaraisa of ma'achalos asuros. Now again, you're still not supposed to do it, right?
Because the ben drusai for certain foods can be an exceptionally long time.
100%. 100%. We're going to talk about this. That's what I'm saying. This Michael ben Drusai is going to have tremendous ramifications really in the area of putting food up before Shabbos. How cooked does food have to be prior to the onset of Shabbos? But using your example, the answer is technically correct. If you were to go out and take a piece of meat that requires 3-4 hours of cooking and you were to put it up an hour before Shabbos is over, you would not transgress Malacha Doraisa. That is correct. Again, don't do it because it'll still be an Issa D'Rabbanon, but technically you're correct. The same way, that if you were to heat up liquid, and you know for sure that that liquid is never reaching up to Yad Soled Espo, you have not, even though again, it's warm, and it might even change. For example, we'll see cases of gravy that will go ahead and liquefy. But again, if technically speaking, if it's going to be less than Yad Soled Espo, technically speaking, one has not violated Issa D'Raisa. So it's part of the makar, yes.
So
Yes, it's part of the makar, which is also why we'll see a distinction between solids and liquids. But yes, once the change has been affected, so ultimately, again, any subsequent act of bishul is not going to affect the change, which is why, by the way, again, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but if we paskin, yesh, let's say, yesh bishul achar afia, or yesh afia achar bishul, the reason why that will work is because a different type of cooking could affect change within the item. Absolutely. Okay, so I'll say, so in terms of the shear of yatzol ledes bo, Ramosha paskins 110 degrees. That's the Moshe Paskins, 110 degrees. So we'll say, so again, like I said, there is a range in all of these halachas, but again, I think just for the purpose of just getting a little bit of clarity moving forward, we're just going to go with the Moshe, 110 degrees. Okay, so we'll say, so some other pieces over here. Now, in addition, so up until now, we've been really focusing on actual process of cooking, right? So I'm going ahead and literally I'm heating up a liquid. I'm putting a liquid on the fire, or I'm putting a loaf of bread in the oven. There is another area of bishul, which actually is probably one of the areas that one has to be most careful with in contemporary Hilchos Shabbos, which is take a look at number 9. Shulchan Aruch writes, Umihu tzarech li zoher, shelo yachzir hakisui im niskala mishech hashecha, mipnei shememaher ligmar bishulam b'shabbos. So we'll say another area of bishul is accelerating cooking processes. In other words, that if you have something that is already cooking, you can't do something to expedite or to accelerate the rate of cooking. So the example of the Shulchan Aruch, I will say, by the way, this is a big one. This is a big one. I'll tell you where this comes up. And sometimes people make a mistake because they don't realize it. You can't wait until Shabbos morning for your chalent, right? So you want a little bit of Friday night chalent, right? So you go in and surprise, you see that the chalent is not fully cooked. You can't place the lid back on. By the way, leaving aside over here, also, there's a lot of issues with taking chalent on Shabbos night, right? In other words, in terms of taking it from the crock pot when the crock pot is in the cylinder. So we'll get to all of that. But Lamaisa, if you open up the crock pot, you take out a spoonful of chalent, you realize, oh, the chalent's not finished yet. It's not finished. You cannot return the lid to the pot. Why not? Because the act of putting the lid back onto the crock pot will accelerate bishul. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, not only is actual like initiation of a cooking process prohibited, but acceleration of a cooking process is prohibited as well. In number 10, so Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa gives an interesting application of this. He writes as follows. He says, V'da, look what he writes, Kidud mayim sh'omed al gabi ha'ish, afilu mechusa, v'mayim shebo enam yad sola desbo, aser lahotzi mimenu mayim derech baraz hadud, kevan sh'al yidei kein, hu gorem shamayim hanusarem bedud, yagia lidei yad sola desbo yoseh mar. See, he gives an interesting case here, Bosei. So imagine the following scenario. Imagine for a moment you put your water up before Shabbos, your hot water urn, and the water did not yet come to a boil. So the Mishnah Shabbos Kilchasa says you can't take water out of there on Shabbos before it comes to a boil. Why not? Because if you remove some water, then what's going to happen, right? Then ultimately, again, the remaining water boils quicker. So you know, I'll say this is actually a big thing. Again, in general, we're going to talk about how urns are one of the things. You know, sometimes we think that as long as I put my urn up before Shabbos, you know, I'm good to go. It's not totally true. Really, the water should be boiled before Shabbos. The water should be at a boil before Shabbos. Because if not, again, technically speaking, if that didn't happen, it doesn't mean that I'm transgressing anything. But should I end up taking a cup of hot water before the entire urn came to a boil, I may actually be transgressing bishul, because by removing some water, I'm causing the remaining water to undergo an expedited boiling process. So again, what we're introducing over here in number 9 and number 10 is the concept that not only can you not cook on Shabbos, but you can't accelerate the process of bishul on Shabbos as well. Now I will say, this leads to a very interesting halacha. Take a look at number 11. The base, yes?
So that in the first hour, if you accelerate the cooking process, even though you're not high for bishul yet, you, for the aspect that it's not yet one third, But you'd be chayav if you're accelerating the cooking process within that first hour.
Yeah. So the shaila just is acceleration of the cooking process may or may not be an iser d'oraisa. So yes, you would be in violation of an iser probably midrabanon. But halacha lamaisa again, before it reaches the threshold of Michael ben Drusai, I take it back. Before it reaches the threshold of Michael ben Drusai, according to most poskim, you're not doing anything. There's nothing that's happened.
So
once it gets
not yet
official. No, that's not true, because remember there's a gap between yasoled espo and boiling, right? In other words, that even when something is yasoled espo, bringing it to a higher heat could still be a maisa bishul. So even if the water is yasoled espo, right, la maisa again, if it's getting hotter and you remove some of the water, so now the rest of the water is going to get hotter, that could be halachically problematic.
So if you have something, it would seem that even if you have something that's fully cooked and you do something to accelerate what's
so
left.
Well, let's see. Let's see. We're gonna get to that. Amir Tzashem.
What happened if you took the water out and you found that it's not boiled? Then what do you do?
Oh, so that's a different discussion. If you end up doing a Maisa Bishul on Shabbos, we'll talk about that. We made reference to it. Remember, again, last Borish here.
It's not a Maisa Bishul because now it's just accelerated.
Yeah, it's a Maisa Bishul. It is a Maisa Bishul. So whatever the ramifications are, ultimately, again, would apply to that as well. Take a look at number 11. So we'll say, so now we come to a very interesting kolbo. The Beis Yosef quotes as follows. He says in number 11, he says like this, Kasav HaKolbo, Shekasa B'Sov Tvarov. This is a very, very interesting ramification over here. The Hamagis Kedera Sha'al Gabe Ha'esh, Chayiv Mishum Mevashon. The kolbo writes that if one stirs food in a pot, now, it's important to understand what the kolbo is referring to over here. So he says, you have a pot that's on the fire. So he says, to go ahead and stir that pot, chayiv mishum mevashal. You are chayiv for cooking. Listen to what he says. Afilu betavshul shenis bashal kol tzarcho shiala ish. Even if the food is fully cooked. So we'll say, so let's take a step back. So I understand, if I have a pot of food, and again, I say, you know, sometimes one of the complicated things in Hilchos Bishul is the way to learn Hilchos Bishul is you have to learn like four topics simultaneously in order for all of this to make sense, because Lamais, again, he's referring to food on the fire. So remember, again, technically speaking, you can't really maintain food on an open fire. Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, you have to maintain food on a covered fire. But we're not gonna get fully into this right now. So let's just take it at face value. So you're maintaining food on a fire, right? So now again, obviously, if I were to open that pot and I were to stir that pot and there's uncooked food there, of course that's gonna be bishul, right? Why is it bishul? I'm accelerating the process, right? So now what the call, and that's fine, right? And that makes sense. What the call is introducing to us is, even if all of the food is fully cooked, the act of stirring the pot while it's on the fire is an act of bishul acceleration. Right? Now again, what the logic is in this, what we'll have to see in just a moment. Right? But this, well, I'll just say the logic now. We'll see a little bit later on. The Kabbalah's svar seems to be like this. He seems to hold that stirring is part of the process of bishul. That when you cook food in a pot, part of what you do to be mevashal the food is you stir it. So therefore, again, the act of stirring food over the flame, and in that size, dafka over the flame, is going to be an act of bishul, even if technically speaking, the food itself is fully cooked, since the act in halacha stirring is called hagasa, since the act of hagasa is in and of itself part and parcel of bishul. Okay, so this is the kolbo. Take a look at number 12. So the Shaar HaTzion writes, he says, I don't understand this. He says, velo eda tam, demai adifa hagasa mi bishul mamish. So the Shaar HaTzion says, this doesn't make any sense, right? This doesn't make any sense, right? Why doesn't it make any sense? Because again, so we've said, what's the definition of bishul? The definition of bishul is taking something in an unchanged state or in a certain state and then changing it, right? However we're defining change, Michael ben Drusai, or ultimately, again, after Michael ben Drusai, yatzoled espo. But as the Shaar HaTzion, I understand, if the food is fully cooked, then what is the act of stirring actually doing? He says, "V'lo eidah tam." He says, "I don't understand the logic over here." Demai adifa hagasa mi bishul mamish v'chol haposkim modim dememavushal kol tzarcho ein bo mishum bishul. So we'll say we have a tremendous machlokis over here between the kolbo and the Shaar HaTzion. a fundamental machlokas. The Kolbo telling us that Aloha Lamaisa Hagasa. So again, and I want to be clear, the Kolbo has a very specific case. What's this specific scenario? It's a pot of food on the fire. For our purposes, on the blech, right? On the fire. Even if the food is fully cooked, you cannot go ahead. You cannot go ahead and stir it. Sharat Zion, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense. It's fully cooked. You're not doing anything by stirring it. So this is our fundamental Yisodistic Machlokes. I will say, by the way, I just want to point out, this has major ramifications, right? A person is going ahead and has a pot of soup, right? Or a stew. And I know for sure it's fully cooked, but I want to just stir it, just to kind of like get whatever, the consistency, or to get just like a good mixture. So again, Kolbo is an Isidaraisa, or at least an Isidarabanon. Sharat Zion, totally mutter. Totally mutter. How do we paskin? So look at number 13. The Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. He says, Ha'ilfis v'akadera shevir merusach me'agabe ha'ar. So if you have a pot, right? You have ilfis, literally a frying pan, or a kadera is a pot, that you removed from, and they're boiling hot. You remove them from the fire. Imlonis bashal kol tzarchan ein motzien bekaf mehem shenimtza magis v'ika mishum mevashal. So remember again, this is an interesting case, right? I have a pot of food that I've taken off the fire. As we saw before, in this case over here, I realize that the food is not fully cooked. So I'll just give you an example like this, right? Let's say you have like the chalent, right? So I go ahead and now I take the chalent off the fire. And I realize that the chalent is not fully cooked, but the top layer is crisp. So what do I want to do? I just want to take some off the top layer. The Shulchan Aruch says you can't do that. You can't do that. Now why? Shenimtza magis v'ika mishum avashal. Because the act of removing some of the food from that crock pot will be an act of hagasa, an act of stirring. And again, that essentially bishul acceleration. Now, this is even in a case where the food is off the fire, right? But this is a case where the food is not fully cooked, but the food is off the fire. You can't take anything out of that pot. But watch this. Vimnis bashal kol tzarcho, but if halacha lemaisa, the food is fully cooked, mutter. Then ultimately, again, it's mutter. Now, I'll say, here's what's interesting. What's mutter? What's mutter? Right? He's talking about a case over here where it's been removed from the fire. Right? So that's bepashos, because again, he's commenting on the same case. Shevir merusach me'agabe ha'ar. The pot is no longer on the fire. Since the pot is no longer on the fire, if it's fully cooked, there's no problem with removing it from a spoon, which effectively goes ahead and stirs the pot. Comes the Rama, here we go. The Rama says, Ulechatrila, Yesh Lehizar, Af Bikdera Bechol Inyan. So Rama says, so this is very interesting. So the Rama says, the truth is, you really shouldn't stir in a pot at all. Right? So what should you do? Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number 14. So Mishnah Berurah writes, first of all, we have two halachas over in 14. Kufyud Gimel, first, Shavir Merusachin. Nakat Shavir L'rabusa Da'afilu Bazeh Asik Shalom Nispashal Kol Tzarcho. O Ben Nispashal Kol Tzarcho, Afilu Omed Agabeh Or Mutul Lahotzi Bekaf, Kemash Rabbe Siosef Abel Yarab Masik Kesh Lasar Bazeh. So we'll say, now watch this. So Mishnah Berurah points out something very interesting. Mishnah Berurah says, the Shulchan Aruch's case is where you've removed the pot off the fire. Right? So now the Shulchan Aruch is saying is, even though the pot of food is not on the fire, even though it's not on the fire, halacha l'maaseh, if the food is not fully cooked, you can't remove food from that pot. Because doing so ultimately, again, will accelerate the bishul process. But it's not on the fire. So again, this is another halacha. Right? The other halacha is kli rishon is mevashal. Right? The kli, the utensil itself, has the ability to cook even if it's no longer on the fire. So therefore, if you take something off the fire and then you realize, hey, it's not fully cooked, you can't take any of the contents out of that pot. Because to do so, ultimately, again, would cause the accelerated cooking of the other stuff. However, what the Mishnah Berurah does say, Mishnah Berurah says, but if the food is fully cooked, even if it's on the fire, you could remove stuff with a spoon. Even though what's going to end up happening? You're going to end up stirring. So we'll say, what do you see from here? So the Mishnah Berurah, which makes sense because we saw the Sharat Zion before, the Mishnah Berurah rejects the Kolbo. He rejects it, right? And Mishnah Berurah says that halacha lemaisa, once food is fully cooked, there's absolutely no problem removing anything with a spoon, no problem stirring anything, not a problem at all. But yeah, but here's what's interesting. But the Rama came along and said, but really you should just be machmir with everything. And don't go ahead and take out of the pot. So what should you do? So take a look at number 14, paragraph Kuf Yud Zayin Mishnah Berurah. Afik Dera Ella Yafo Chakedera Lekaro V'lo Yotzi Bekaf. So it's interesting. The Rama says the truth is, don't spoon out of a pot. Instead, what should you do? Take the pot and just empty it into like a serving dish. That's what you should do. Don't start scooping out, because scooping by definition is what? What is scooping by definition? Stirring. And therefore, again, the Rama says, you know what? Better not to stir, essentially in the Kli Rishon. Better not to stir in the pot in which the item was cooked, even though it's not on the fire. Better to just avoid it. Rather, just empty the contents of the pot into a serving dish. Okay. Now, right, so, V'ayim b'achronim, they will say, you see this, you're like, I don't know, I don't do this. Right? V'ayim b'achronim, d'lo nehigin lahachmir bazeh. The minhag is not to be machmir like this. The minhag is not, Shabbos, I say again, I want to be clear. Let's talk about what's a chumrah, what's not a chumrah. What's not a chumrah? I take a pot off the fire, and I open it up, and I realize, hey, it's not fully cooked. Right? What can't I do? What can't I do? Can't take anything out, right? And just same way that I can't put the lid back on because that's going to accelerate cooking, I can't take anything out because that's going to accelerate cooking even though it's off the eish. The chumrah of the Rama seems to be, you know what? Even when the food is fully cooked and even when it's off the fire, which I will say, if you think about it, is even more machmir than the kolbo, right? Because the kolbo was saying that you shouldn't stir fully cooked food in the pot while on the fire. The Rama is saying, really, just don't stir in the pot. Don't stir the pot, right? Don't stir the pot, even if it's off the fire. So what should you do? Take the pot, empty it into a serving dish. Mishnah Berurah says, wow, we're not machmir like that. We are not machmir like that. He says, to be'emes ha'ikir kimo shekasvu. Because again, the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't really even hold like the kolbo. Right, we don't really hold like the kolbo. And halacha lemaisa, if you have fully cooked food in a pot, even if that pot is on the fire, technically speaking, it does. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. Kimavor lekam simin shin chavav sof simin yisif yotas varotu lahachmir yachmir b'hagosam mamish. So Mishnah Berurah says, look, if you're shopping for a chumrah, right, and you're looking, right, you're looking for an area in your life in which you want to be more machmir hilchos Shabbos. So Mishnah Berurah says, fine, you can be machmir like the kolbo. What's the chumrah of the kolbo? Don't stir the pot while on the fire. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah says, I want to be clear. The Mishnah Berurah is not saying you have to be machmir. The Mishnah Berurah is saying if you're looking to be machmir in a certain area, then be machmir like the kolbo. Varotz lahachmir yachmir b'hagosam mamish, aval lahotzi b'kaf ein lahachmir klal. So therefore, Rabbosai, so bottom line is that halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah says, once the food is fully cooked and been removed from the fire, there is absolutely no reason to be machmir. In other words, and therefore you could stir, you could serve, it's not a problem. If you want to be machmir in a certain area, you can be machmir while the food is on the fire, right? Because that's the kolbo. That's the kolbo. Again, I will say, all of this is presupposing the food is fully cooked, because obviously if the food is not fully cooked, you can't do any of this, right? Certainly on the fire and even off the fire. So again, I just want to point out, this is ma'asim b'chol Shabbos, right? A person is serving soup. You know, sometimes like the chicken or the vegetables settle to the bottom of the soup. So what do you want to do? You want to take the ladle and you want to go to the bottom of the soup. So I will say, effectively, you're stirring the soup pot. Is one allowed to do this or not? So first of all, it's interesting. We're going to see ideally what should one do if one wants to do this. Ideally, remove the pot off the blech. Now again, I just want to point out, because sometimes, you know, sometimes especially if you're at someone's house, you see them do something, just to point out, if the food is fully cooked and they are serving even on the blech, technically speaking, it's mutter, right? We're presupposing the food is fully cooked. But it appears that that is not the ideal. Really, Mishnah Berurah says, could be that if you want to be, maybe good to be machmir like the kolbo, and really all that requires is take the food off the blech. Now again, we're going to get to this, because if you take the food off the blech, you have to do it in a certain way that allows you to put it back on the blech, right? That's going to be the halachos of chazara. So again, like I said, we're going to get to that, but for our purposes tonight, better not to go ahead and serve the soup while on the blech, better to take it off, go ahead and serve. And then you could serve, you could stir, you could do whatever you want with that soup, right? Because halacha l'maaseh, the Mishnah Berurah says there's no need to be machmir with hagasa when the item is off the blach. Okay, interesting idea. Yes?
In this case, does fully cooked just mean anything after a ben
drusa? No. So this is, and this goes to the Chaim's point also. So also, here's what I want to point out. Remember, Mecho ben drusai is the moment when something is considered to be halachically cooked. But the halacha recognizes that there's still much more cooking process to undergo. It's just on a technical level, if you cook something and it didn't reach the threshold of Mechel Ben Drusai, you have not committed a Malacha Doraisa, right? I'll give you a simple example. The same way that if you carry an object in Rosh Hashanah, you only carry it 2 amas, right? Okay, so you haven't transgressed. But remember, once you've carried Dalet Amas, if you carry another 2 amas, you're still in violation. So Mechel Ben Drusai is just the threshold at which the Malacha starts. But not when, that's the way it is said. Mechel ben drusai is the threshold where the malacha starts, not when the malacha ends.
So fully cooked here, like for the 3 hour meat, it would be 3 hours.
3 hours. Fully cooked here means cooked. Now again, is this subjective? Yeah, could people eat things at different levels of cooking? 100%. But fully cooked means that this is the way I would normally eat this object.
Yeah, then chon's a problem.
I'm sorry?
Then chon's a problem because most people like Shabbos after Shabbos for lunch, and if you take it Friday night, it's a different. So what is called
sarcha
when it comes to chon? Is it
cooked that you would feel comfortable eating it?
The fact that you're taking it.
The fact that you, yeah, it means that you wouldn't be taking it unless like you were ready to eat it, assuming you're out of yeshiva, you know. So like, you know. So again, correct. In other words, the fact that the consistency or even the taste changes doesn't mean that it's not fully cooked. The pasha says if I'm ready to eat it Friday night, it means that for me it's my mavushal called sarcha. So we'll say, so this is a really interesting one. So what you essentially see is, on one hand, the Sharatzi in the Mishnah Berurah says that we don't pass like the Kolbo, but yet the Mishnah Berurah seems to tell us that one should be machmir like the Kolbo. So again, now both say, this matters, okay, so let me just tell you this, because this actually matters a lot, even though I'm going totally out of order. Where does this come up in terms of, let's say, a situation where you don't have to be machmir like the Kolbo? Let's say, for example, I have my chicken soup, I have my pot on a fire that I can't return it to. I'll give you a simple example like this. Now, I'm going to throw something out, and then I'm not going to explain it. We'll come back to it. Let's assume for right now that a hot plate is not considered to be like a covered fire, which means, according to many poskim, once you take something off a hot plate, you cannot put it back on a hot plate. You cannot. A hot plate is not like a blech. Let's assume that for just a moment right now, okay? Subject to machlokas, but again, let's assume that. So watch this. So now if I have chicken soup on the hot plate, and now what happens? So okay, I see the Mishnah, I want to be like the machlokas, like the kolbo. So I want to take it off, and I want to go ahead and serve it off the hot plate. What's the problem? If I take it off, I can't return it. But let's say I need hot soup for later on, or I need hot soup for tomorrow. So again, it would seem to me in a situation like that, it would be better not to be machmir like the kolbo. In other words, this is why in halacha in general, it's always good to know the distinction between what's a halacha and what's a chumrah. What's a chumrah? Two very different bodies of knowledge. Right? So halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah says, be machmir like the kolbo when you can. But should you have a circumstance where being machmir like the kolbo is going to create other related halachic issues, then ultimately one doesn't have to be machmir like the kolbo. Like I said, forget about that piece of the hot plate right now. We'll come back to it, Emir Hashem, because that's a big machlokas also. Good. So let's go weiter. So take a look at number 16. So some interesting contemporary response about the kolbo. Rav Moshe writes about this. He says, Be'im yesh lachush l'mash shehevi amagin avram b'shem ha-kolbo demagis chayim mishum mevashal afilo b'kedera mevushelas calls Mashiach la'ish, v'otzas ochlem b'kaf mitachtis hakederim nechshav kagosa. So someone asked Moshe, really, like, do you have to be machmir like the kolbo? So again, the Mishnah Berurah, I just want to point out, the Mishnah Berurah himself is not, on one hand, he seems to say, like, you don't have to be machmir, we don't pass like the kolbo, but then he says, like, but if you're looking for something to be machmir, be machmir like the kolbo, while it's ala'ish. So ask Moshe, b'pashtos, do you need to be machmir like the kolbo or not? So Moshe writes as follows. He says, I underline a couple of pieces of it. He says, Tshuva, hagosa ben espashal kol tzarach kisheina ala ish leka iser klal. Okay, so this is not a chiddush. Mishnah Berurah already said this. So Moshe, let's start with what everybody agrees with, right? What is there, even the kolbo, what does everybody agree with? Fully cooked food in a pot that's not on the fire, that's off the fire. Everyone agrees that's what? No problem. Now we'll say, now does everybody agree? No, the Rama, right? So the Rama comes along. The Rama doesn't like you scooping anything out of a pot, even fully cooked food, even off the fire, right? The Rama prefers that you just empty the contents into a serving dish. But again, Ramosha says, we don't pass it that way. Mostly one of these interesting situations where contemporary Ashkenazic practice is not like the Rama. You don't find that very often. I don't know how often you find it, but it doesn't feel like it's very often. So Moshe says, for that, you for sure do not need to be machmir. Okay. Okid isa beber halacha. Good. Skip to the next set on the lines. Aval, ba'oda ala'ish, ika isra midirabanan. Okay, the kasev atam, b'defer shlom ala rosh, perakira sim yud aleph, d'shema yita, v'yira lo shim v'vushalas kol tzarcha, v'yavo l'chiyuv skila. Okay, so Rabbi says, so this is very interesting. So here, Rav Moshe brings down another potential svara for the kolbo, right? We're trying to figure out, why does the kolbo have a problem with, if food is totally cooked, the kolbo says, you can't stir it or scoop out of it while it's on the fire. So Rav Moshe here quotes from the Tiferet Shlomo on the Rosh, who says something very interesting. He explains, and this is a different svara. He says, what are we concerned about? Say, imagine the following scenario. You have your pot of food on the fire, covered fire, right? You go ahead and you open it up, and as far as you know, it's been cooking for the right amount of time. It's fully cooked. Then what do you do? You start to scoop, and what do you discover? It's not fully cooked. So what have you just done? You've just done a malacha d'araisa. That is mamish a malacha d'araisa, right? The pot of food is on the fire, and now I'm stirring it. I'm accelerating bishul. Now again, obviously bishogeg, of course, not intentional. This is interesting. So therefore, again, I'm going to say it appears that according to Rav Moshe, the logic of the kolbo is we just don't want you to get yourself into a potentially compromised situation. So therefore, don't ever stir or serve food on the fire. Because whenever you do it, you do run the risk of maybe having miscalculated the cooking time or intensity of the fire, and what looks fully done is not fully done. Whereas if you take it off the fire and you stir it, even if technically speaking it's not fully cooked, it's an issur d'rabbanan, but it's not going to be an issur d'oraisa. Yes? Right, so hold on to that, because what the status of that sleeve is going to be a tremendous machlokis as well. Is that considered to be an open fire? Is it a covered fire? Hold on, we're going to get to that. Well, so that's what I'm saying. There's like a lot of concurrent things that we have to do over here, but in Meretz Hashem, we'll get to that. So Rav Moshe, therefore, so we'll say, this is just very interesting. So now this is once Rav Moshe says this, then the truth is, the chumrah of the kolbo makes a lot of sense. He's like, quite literally, no pun intended, you're playing with fire. Like, in other words, if you're wrong about the contents of the pot, you really do run the risk of violating an issur d'oraisa. So therefore, again, just to obviate any concerns, don't serve and don't stir on the fire.
Skip. The Kobo himself doesn't sound like it's a chashash at the Rabbanan. The Kobo himself says, it's the way that it's good, it's the way that you're tied to Shem and Masha, and you serve. Not like a
Correct. So that's why, again, the pashup shot in the kolbo is that the kolbo holds that hagosa is part of the ma'aseh bishul. It's like the gemar bishul. Again, I'm projecting this onto the kolbo. The truth is, if you notice over here, Rav Moshe is actually not quoting the kolbo; he's actually quoting the Rosh, the Fresh Lomdos. So it's a different. So it could be that there's even a machlokis in terms of the nature of hagosa ala ish. Inachinami. So let's go a little bit weiter. He goes on. He says, Skip down to the last part. He says, Avalahotzi Bikaf, look at the last line. Avalahotzi Bikaf in Lahachmir Klal, Kavanoso de in Baze Shum Mailo. So we'll say, so this is actually incredible. So Rav Moshe Paskin is like this. Rav Moshe has an interesting like hybrid model. He says as follows. He says that the only time a person maybe has to be machmir is in an actual case of hagasa, actual case of stirring. But Rav Moshe says just to take out, that's not going to be a problem. So we'll say, so again, so this would be an interesting, to illustrate this, how this works, I think it's actually really quite fascinating. So Moshe, so let's go to Rav Moshe says like this. If ultimately, again, the item is fully cooked and it's not on the fire, no problem. And I will say, aside from the Ramah, right? Who since we had das yachin, everybody's going to agree with that. When it's fully cooked on the fire, say you've got the kolbo, who says you can't go ahead and take anything out from it, right? You have the Mishnah Berurah, who says you can, but if you want to be machmir. Moshe says something very interesting. Moshe says you should avoid stirring while ala ish, but you don't have to avoid scooping. Scooping. So, for example, according to Ramosha, what it sounds like is like this. If you had fully cooked soup that's on the fire, if you were just ladling out broth from the top, it would appear that Ramosha would say that that's fine. If you're going to start like going on the bottom, which is a de facto act of mixing, it would seem that Ramosha says that halacha lemaisa, that might be a good idea to be machmir. So, Ramosha, if you kind of bring this all together, here's what we have. Here's what we have. Fully cooked food off the fire, even though it's in the Kli Rishon, absolutely no problem to serve it, to stir it, totally fine. Fully cooked food, or I should say not fully cooked food on the fire, everyone agrees unequivocally usher to do anything with it. Fully cooked food on the fire, did I say that correctly? All right, now fully cooked. Third case, fully cooked food on the fire, kolbo should not stir it. Mishnah Berurah can stir it. Rav Moshe, can't stir it, but can serve it. Halacha l'maisa, what should we do? So we'll say, it would appear the ideal would be, like Mishnah Berurah said, that when you can be machmir like the kolbo, be machmir. So if you could avoid stirring or serving from a fully cooked pot of food while on the fire, that is certainly the ideal. Certainly the ideal. If for some reason that's not possible because of the nature of your fire, then halacha l'maisa, assuming that you know with absolute certainty that it is fully cooked, then halacha l'maisa, it would be okay. All right, well, see, what we'll do is we'll stop over for now. I'll just mention that the Avnei Nezer happens to write over here number 17 something interesting about whether or not the issue of hagasa applies to liquids. Right. In other words, let's say I just have a pot of water, or for that matter, again, just the broth. Does the issue of hagasa apply to liquids or not? The Avnei Nezer Paskins, that it does not, right? The Avnei Nezer Paskins, that Hagasa doesn't apply to liquids. And I will say, this is a very interesting svara. What's the logic to say that Hagasa doesn't apply to liquids? Heat distribution and cooking distribution is different by liquids than it is by solids. We see this by solids all the time, right? Chalden is the best example of this. You could have a pocket that is not as cooked. By liquids, you don't really get into that situation. I don't know. I'm sure there's a, I don't know the science of it, but whatever the science is, right, I guess the heat diffusion is more equal. So interesting, I'm just point out that the Avnei Nezer holds this whole discussion regarding Hagasa is only in by solids, not by liquids. I will say, Shkai, such a schuss to begin. Bishol, we could do Mariv. Probably, I don't know what they're up to in the show. We could just do Mariv in here. Good, Shkai, everyone.